actually saying, because I have always said to her, there is nothing wrong with you. I have always said, God has healed you a long time ago, and you are not sick. You do not have a nodule in your breast. Although we can see it, you do not have a nodule. Do you remember? I've always said that all the way through this thing that has been going on for several months. I have always said, you are healed. Amen. Please try and remember, you must declare your victory. You must speak to the circumstances in your life. There's no way that you can have healing if you don't have any faith. The faith has got to be there. And then God works, because you are saying, God, I trust you. And if you show that trust in God, boy, He works miracles. And what is extraordinary in this particular healing, and that's why I insisted so much that Tina came and spoke about these things with documents, because how many times do we have healing? But how many times do we actually have medical proof that there was something before, and then afterwards there is absolutely a clear bill of health, and it's written on paper? And this is absolutely proof for people to understand the power of God. For I'm not talking about the church here. I am talking about people outside of the church. People who do not know God. We can testify and say, we have proof of what our God has done for us. Amen. So don't hesitate. If anything like that happens to you, come and friend and praise God for it. Okay? Right, praise the Lord. Oh boy, this is a fantastic time. you know, as Pastor said, you know, we don't know what's going to happen today. And I don't know if I've got any time, Pastor. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Are we limited? Do we have to close at one particular time? I don't think so, because it is our place here, 24/7. So praise the Lord. So whatever happens here, the Lord is in control. But by my Spirit, says the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And this is in the same thing here as what's been going on right from the beginning today. By my Spirit, things are going to happen, not by might or by power. Holy Spirit, you know, please, today is such a special day where your presence is here. And this is the time where you are in control of all things. And once again, as I normally say, you are going to preach today, because you are here, and I only want to be an instrument. I don't want to preach anything that you're not talking. Let the people be blessed, let their hearts be open to the word that you are going to give today, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray to you. Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 2-5. We could start by verse 1 already. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Verse 2 says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Amen. Let's just go over this very quickly again. Abram, when he received the vision of God, he said to him, what are you going to give me, God? I'm expecting something from you, because you've just told me. And He said, I am childless. I'm without child. The heir of my descendants, the people who are going to inherit of my wealth and my riches and so forth, it's somebody called Eliezer, and he lives in Damascus. He is my closest relative. He is the one that's going to receive everything that I got. And God said to him, no. He said, no. Your heir, the one who's going to inherit everything from you, is going to be somebody that comes from your own body. In other words, God was saying to him, I will give you a child. And what he was saying to him is that I will give you a male child. Because in those days, it was the males that inherited from the fathers. The sons and the fathers had inherited from the fathers, not the daughters. So God was saying to him, I am going to give you a son. That was a promise, because when God says something, God does it.
Amen.
When God says, I am going to heal you, he exactly does it. When he says, I am going to give you a boy, I am going to give you a son, God is going to do it.
Amen.
And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one coming from your own body. And now go outside and have a look at the sky. And the sky was obviously without clouds, because the only thing you could see was stars. And God said to him, you try and count those. But you can't, because there's so many. But that is what your descendants are going to be. Now, every one of us, at one point in our life, I'm absolutely sure that there's not one single exception. Every one of us receive a promise from God. Sometimes it comes very early, sometimes it comes late, sometimes it comes in the middle of your life. But we receive words from God. And then what do we do with it? What do we do with that word from God? God promised Abraham a heir. And God said, and Abraham said, okay, I believe you, God. I believe you. Because it says in Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So he said, yes, Lord, I believe in my heart that what you said to me about my son, I am actually going to receive. I believe you. But then what happened to that promise? In your lives, have you actually received the fulfillment of that promise? Are you still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled? Have you also got the correct attitude to receive the fulfillment of that promise? Have you got enough faith? The Bible says that Abraham had faith. He said, I believe God. But what did Abraham do with God's promise? He got nervous. He got upset. He got impatient. He said, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. My bones are dry. He was older than I am, okay? He was already 86 years old in those days, okay? But what did he do? Let's just go to Genesis 16:2, which says, that they got so upset, Sarai, because in those days it wasn't Sarah yet, it was Sarai and Abraham, that they said, okay, well, we're going to help God. We're going to give him a helping hand because he's not doing it. So because me, Sarai, I can't have any children, I am barren, I'm going to give you another woman. Because in those days, of course, it was permitted. I don't want people to think here that you are entitled to have a second wife. No. But in those days, it was permitted because they had their wife and then they had what they called concubines. Right? So, Sarai said, listen, I have an Egyptian maid here called Hagar, and I'm going to give her to you, and you, I don't want to know, she's going to provide you with a child. So they said, well, okay, well, let's do that. And Abraham said, actually, okay, I'll just read this in Genesis 16, 2 says, so Sarai said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And the next part of the verse says, and Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. He listened to his wife. There's times where you shouldn't do that. But most of the time you do have to listen to your wife. But in this case, he shouldn't have done that. Because God had promised him something. Now my question is, when you receive a promise from God, do you actually believe in God? That's point number one. Point number two is, have you got patience for God to do his job and to give you his promise in his own good time? Or are you going to start discussing this with people? Let it be your friends, your pastor, your wife, your family. And then somebody said, well, if I were you, I'd do this. And then you do it. Or do you just sit and wait for God to act? Because Abraham, he didn't wait. He waited a long time, yes, but he got impatient. And he said, okay, I'll listen to you, Sarai. I'll just use this other woman and perhaps we will have a child. So he was trying to help God. It's always a very bad idea. Always a very bad idea, because God knows what he's doing. You don't.
Yes.
And neither do I. But he knows. So when we start doing things, we normally mess things up all the time. We try to do things our own way. Let just God do his job.
Amen.
Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Amen.
Of course, many times we do have results of what we do, of our actions. They're not the results that God wants us to have, but we do have results. Verse 4, chapter 16 says, so he went into Hagar and she conceived. So he said, hey, I did it. I have a child. Yes? And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. In other words, things were already going wrong. Right from the beginning. First thing, Sarai says to her husband, listen, I'm going to give you my maid. Try and conceive a child with her. Because that's God's promise, that you're going to have a son. And then, as soon as she knew that the woman was pregnant, she despised her. And she looked at her mistress and said, look at that, I am the one who's bearing child for you. You can't do it, but look at me. Well, you know, I'm young. Look at you, you're old and dry, you know. That's exactly what happened. She despised Sarai. Of course, that didn't fix things between Abraham and Sarai, of course. Now, what are the consequences of our actions? We've got to try and think about these things. When we have a promise from God and we try to help God, we have immediate reactions, immediate consequences of what we're doing. But in general, there are long-term consequences of what we do. And we bear those consequences for the rest of our lives. And our descendants will bear those consequences. And perhaps even the world will actually bear these consequences. Because when we look at what happened, okay, Hagar gave birth to a child called Ishmael, who was not the son of the promise. He was not the son that God had promised Abraham. He was the son of Hagar. One of the immediate consequences is that Abraham's wife in Genesis 21:10 threw Ishmael out of the house. She said, I don't want you around here. And I don't want your mother around here. Although she had said to Abraham, listen, go into her, get a child, blah, 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 blah. The immediate consequence, she said, go, I don't want to hear about this. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. So Isaac was already born in those days. But the consequence was that she said, I want him out of here. My son is going to be the heir. the one that I gave birth to, which is the son of the promise. The other one is going to be expelled. The other consequence, which is a long-term consequence, is that God, although Abraham did something that he shouldn't have done, or which was not good in the eyes of the Lord, he still said, because Ishmael is your seed, I will bless him and make a great nation of him. Because, not because he is Ishmael, not because of what he did, not because of the fact that Sarai said to him, go into my maid and make a child with Hagar. No, that is not the reason why God said, I'm going to make a great nation of you, Ishmael. He said, I am going to do it because you are of the seed of Abraham. That is the reason. But God also said, you're going to be a wild man, and you're going to fight against all your neighbors, and you're going to live in the wilderness. That also is a consequence. And we find this in Genesis 21:13. Yet I will make a great nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed, he said to Abraham. Genesis 21:14 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then they departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. They wandered in the wilderness. That was a medium consequence. First consequence was she got thrown out, and Ishmael got thrown out. The second consequence, which is a medium one, they were a medium in the time I'm talking about here, is the fact that they're wandering in the desert. They could no longer stay with the family of Abraham. They had to wander in the desert. Now the Bible tells us that Ishmael had 12 sons. And these sons became the Arab nation. So on the one hand, we've got Isaac, who's going to bring forth all the descendants of Abraham, and from which Jesus is going to come later on. And then we've got the other branch, the other second child, or the first child that Abraham had, but which was not the son of the promise. Ishmael had 12 sons, and they became the Arab nations. And they would be dwelling in tents. And 16:12 tells us, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. In other words, what God was saying, this is not the son of promise. This is not what I promised you. And he is going to fight against every single person. And the other people are not going to like him, and they're going to fight against him all the days of his life. And the consequence is that his descendants are going to be exactly the same, because they inherit this from their fathers. And just see what is happening right now, today. About 3,500 years later, the Arabs are still fighting Israel. Yes. They are still fighting. In other words, we can say that Ishmael is still fighting Isaac today. Yes. And that's why we need to pray for the peace in Israel.
Yes.
Because we need this war to stop. We need God to have grace on these people, and stop them fighting. It's going on for far too long. All the situation is in fact explained extremely clearly in the New Testament. Let's just have a look at Galatians chapter 4. Verses 22-23. Verse 22 says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman.
Man.
You know what's extraordinary, I find, is that wherever you read in the Bible, that part of the Bible is explained somewhere else in the Bible. Wherever you look, if you want to find out what one part means, carry on reading the Bible, and you will find somewhere else the Bible explains itself.
Yeah.
You don't need anybody to explain the Bible to you.
Yeah.
You read it and it explains itself. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, this is what happens there. This is what it means. And when you do that, do not act this way. Do it the other way, the way that I am telling you. And it can be any explanation. The Bible is so alive with the Holy Spirit that, as I said, there is no other explanation. It explains itself.
Amen. Yes.
And in this case, we're looking at the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 16, and it is explained in Galatians, in the New Testament, in chapter 4.
Yes.
And it's all there. Just read and follow it. Because Ishmael was the son of the flesh, was the son of the law. But Isaac was the son of grace. He was the son of grace. We are children of grace because we are heirs together with Jesus Christ, and we are heirs with him in the same way that Isaac was the heir of Abraham. We are the heir of Jesus. We are sons of grace. It is through grace that we have been saved. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Yes.
It is by his spirit that we are saved. Because at one point, at one day, he touched our hearts. He touched our hearts and said, come to me. And because he touched our heart before he spoke to us, we said, yes. Let's go to the Lord. Because if he had not spoken to us first, he could have called us. If he had not touched our hearts, before, he could have called us and our heart would have been cold. But he changed our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. He prepared the terrain to receive the word of God.
Amen.
And to say, yes, come. Come, and that we say, amen, I'm going to follow you. Verse 23 says in Galatians 4, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. So everything I'm telling you here is written in this book. I'm not inventing anything. It's all there. And that's why I'm reading in parallel, because I think it's so important that that you understand that when we say something from here, it comes from the Holy Book. It comes from the Word of God. It is his written word. And we need to understand that what is written there is what we need to follow and understand. And these two children, Ishmael and Isaac, are symbolic representations. And it says that very clearly, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. From this is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with the children. Ishmael represented bondage. Just like the Romans were in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was in bondage through the Romans, because that's what he says, even until now. This is Paul speaking, Apostle Paul. And he says to the Galatians, nowadays, the day of today, Jerusalem is in bondage, just in the same way as Ishmael was in bondage. It represents that covenant. Okay? When we try to do God's work, we are saying we are self-sufficient. We don't need God. We can do it by ourselves. And once we start saying that, these leads to spiritual bondage. This leads to the devil being able to take hold of you and saying, I am now going to control your life. You are going to do what I want. But you're going to think you're going to do it. Instead of saying, God, I trust you to do in my life what you want to do. And you are bound because you are actually doing something that God didn't want you to do. You are lacking of trust in the Lord if you try and be self-sufficient and say, oh, I can do that. No, you can't. There is absolutely nothing that you can do in this life without God doing it for you. He gave you life. He gave you everything that you have. He gave you your job. He gave you your health. He gives you your breath. He gives you the air that you breathe every day, the food that you eat, the water or whatever you drink every single day. You cannot be self-sufficient. Without God, we are nothing. Jesus says very clearly, there is not one hair that is going to fall from your head without the Father knowing about it or authorizing it. So how on earth can you be self-sufficient? How can you do things by yourself if it is only God that determines exactly the course of your life?
Yes.
And when you try to change it, the consequences are so heavy.
Yes.
As I said, 3,000 years ago, the Arabs started and they're still at it now. That is such a long time. Just because somebody decided to do something, thinking, oh, I'm going to help God.
Yeah.
So now what I'm saying to you in reality is, it's obvious we have to wait on God. That doesn't mean that you've got to sit down in your armchair and just wait for things to happen. That is not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is that you have to get on with your life, that you have to follow your course, but keep your ears and your heart open.
Amen.
Because God, at one point in time, is going to say, it is now it is going to happen.
Yes.
You must be attentive to God.
Yes.
And carry on your life. Life is a good thing.
Amen.
There is nothing wrong with life. And I'm talking about the life of every day.
Yep.
Pastor was saying, a life is joy. I'm happy.
Yes.
We are happy people.
Yes.
I know sometimes I've got a sour face, but that doesn't mean I'm not happy. I just don't show it because I'm a stiff upper British person, right? Okay? But it's true. My heart is overjoyed, rejoicing all the time. You don't always see a smile on my face, but that doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying. You've got to have an open heart. Your heart, as we were singing, must surrender to the Lord. Your heart must be open that you can hear the Lord's voice. You must be able to listen to Him. You must be able to say, hey Lord, is it now? Or is it later? If nothing happens, just carry on with your normal life. And just wait patiently on the Lord.
That's
true. Just wait patiently.
Amen.
Because if you try and force things, there are consequences.
Yes.
There always are consequences. And I'm sure that every single one of you in your life have already tried this once. And realized, oh boy, what have I done? If that is the case, I urge you to ask forgiveness. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I know that there are consequences which are called in the Bible iniquities. But please forgive me. Correct my path. Correct whatever I have done. Show me the way to put it right. And He will. Because our God is a God of grace.
Yes.
He is a good God. He is a God that looks after us.
Yes.
Amen. All the time. There is not one single second that He doesn't look after us.
Yeah.
So please, I urge you, don't try and do things by yourself.
Yes.
I know sometimes you need patience. But if I were you, you know, just say to God, I'll just be waiting. Don't ask Him to give you patience.
Yes, true.
Do not ask God to give you patience. Because if you do, He is going to send you tribulations. Because it is through tribulations that He teaches you to have patience. Amen? Just be patient. The only way to do this, it's very simple. Just praise the Lord all the time.
Yes.
Just praise His glorious name.
Yes.
And it's by praising Him that you are going to have this inner peace. It is then that you're going to have this time with Him. And it is also through your praises and worship that perhaps He is going to work faster. Because you are ready to receive whatever He wants to give you.
Amen.
Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Wow. Whoa. The second covenant, or the second Jerusalem that we were talking about, is the future heavenly Jerusalem. Galatians 4:26 says, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of all of us. That's the Jerusalem of grace. It is our future city. It is there that we will be going. And that is the second covenant of grace that God has given us. Don't try and do things by yourself. We only break our teeth doing that. True, you fall, you trip, you break your teeth on the floor. Just let God work. Just let God work. It's sometimes not easy. It's sometimes, and most of the time, it's not easy. But what we need to do is to just trust in the Lord. Once again, it all comes down to faith. It all comes down to faith. Just like Abraham said, "I believe you, Lord," we should say, "Lord, I believe you. Whatever you have said for me in my life, I believe you." Don't try and force the issue. Just say, "Lord, you have promised me this victory. You have promised me this victory. I'm just going to carry on with my life, and you are going to give me that victory in this particular area of my life." Whatever it may be. It could be health, like we've just had in our family. It could be an issue of a job. Robert, it could be this interview or this case that you're having tomorrow with the lawyer. Trust the Lord. If he has promised you this victory, victory will be yours. If it is not tomorrow, it might even go to court, but you will be victorious because that is what God promises you. He does not leave his sons without victory. He protects every single one of us. Because like I said the other day, you know, if God is with us, who can be against us?
Yes.
He is walking with us all the time.
Amen.
So who shall we fear?
No.
Pastor said in Jeremiah, "Be courageous. I'm with you. I will never forsake you." Amen.
Amen.
So carry on walking in faith. With anything that you do, the simplest thing in your life, just do it. Because God is in control of all things. As I said, I'm coming back to Galatians 4:28, where it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." I've said this a little bit earlier on. We are the children of grace because we belong to that same lineage of Abraham. We don't come from the side of Ishmael. We come from the side of Isaac.
Yes.
So we are under the blessing of God.
Hallelujah.
We are under his grace.
Amen.
Because wherever that is, grace abounds where we need it.
Amen.
That is one of the most extraordinary things I find that is taught us in the Word of God. It's that the more we sin, the more there is grace. Isn't that extraordinary? I mean, God is there, sitting on his throne, right? And he gives grace. It just pours out of him. And the less we need, the more we sort of go away from him and do stupid things, the more he pours out his grace. I mean, if it was my dad, I wouldn't have his grace. He'd punish me for whatever I would have done when I was a child. He would punish me. But God has grace.
Amen.
What is grace? Grace is something completely free. He gives it to us. It's an unmerited favor.
Yes.
Yes.
He gives favor to us that we don't deserve.
Yes.
That is what grace is.
Amen.
Somebody who's graceful just gives without asking anything in return.
Amen.
That is what God does. So we are children. We inherited that.
Amen.
Throughout the line, throughout from Abraham all the way through. We inherited that. And that grace, we are part of that. And we can say, "Lord, now we stand here before you. We are your sons. We are your heirs. And we thank you for the grace that you have given us."
Amen.
Amen. I urge you, don't try to do things by yourself. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, any problem, any situation that you have, just lay it onto the altar of God. And say, "God, there we are. It's yours. In your good time. When you are ready." Because can you imagine? You know, you've got to try and understand what God has to prepare to give us the promise that he gave us to fulfill that. He might have to change our whole life. But when he promises, he'll do it. In other words, if he promises you something and you say, "That's impossible because I can't have any children," he's going to transform you in such a way that you will have children.
Amen.
So he might have to change you or the circumstances around you or your family or your house or the country you're living in because he's promised you something.
Yes.
Praise God.
He has promised to Pastor Eddie here a church in Portugal. He has promised a church in Italy. At least that's the way I perceive things. Because when God puts something in your heart to pray for, to me that means this is what I want you to do. And this is what I'm going to give you.
Yes.
I'm not ready to give it to you now, but I'm working on it.
Yes.
And I'm saying to you, Pastor Eddie, don't force things. Let God do His job.
Amen.
I know that you don't do that, but it's an example I need to show the people here. Just let God do His work.
Amen.
And when He is ready, in His own good time,
Amen.
These churches are going to open.
Wow.
This might mean that Pastor Eddie is going to leave England. Who knows? Nobody knows, only God. It might very well be that He says, Eddie, you've had your time here. There's another pastor that I'm going to put in this church, which is going to be your disciple, but I am going to take you to Italy. You don't know. I'm not saying anything prophetic here. I'm just giving an example of how God could, if He wanted to, change the life of somebody to achieve what He promised you. Amen.
Amen.
Just let God work in your lives.
Amen.
Open your heart to Him.
Amen.
And just say, Lord, here I am. You do with me Your will, exactly.
Yes.
You do Your will with me, exactly like the potter reshapes a vase.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Some songs say, break me, Lord, and rebuild me.
Amen.
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 Just let God do what He wants with your life. Because that is the best way. Because He knows the best for you. He knows what is going to suit you best and what is going to fit best in His global plan. We don't know anything, but He does. So if we are ready just to get to be an instrument in God's hands, we are going to have a wonderful life. Because we just have to walk in His path. He's going to take all the obstacles away and He's going to light our path. We just follow straight on and we're going to get to the goal that He wants us. And in the meantime, He's going to put peace in our heart. We'll have joy in our heart because we're walking with God. I mean, what more do we want? What more do we want in our lives? Just to walk with the Lord every single day.
Amen.
But remember, when we are born again, we become sons of liberty because of the grace. We get freed from the law. And we live under grace. Try and remember this. We get freed from the law and we live under grace. Galatians 4:29 says, but as He was born according to the flesh, then persecuted Him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now, says Paul. We are going to have persecution. We are going to have persecution in the same way that Isaac was scoffed by Ishmael. He obviously, there were fights in that family. I'm absolutely sure of that. Ishmael didn't like at all the idea that Isaac came along. And he persecuted him. As a child, you know, as a youngster. He didn't leave him alone, and the Bible says that very clearly. Genesis 21:9 says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who she had born to Abraham, scoffing. He was mocking Isaac. Can you imagine the tension that was in that family?
Yeah.
Just imagine. You, my half-brother, ha, 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 ha. You are younger than me. I am the heir here. No, you're not, because you're not the son of the promise. And he was laughing and scoffing. So we know that there is going to come persecution against us. But it doesn't matter. Because we are so much under grace that God is going to look after us. And nothing is going to touch us. Absolutely nothing is going to touch us. Because we're under God's protection. Because we're walking in His path. Because we are doing what He said we were supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Not because we are doing what we wanted to do, to try and solve that promise or to get the promise quicker. But we are walking in God's path, and for that reason, He will protect us against persecution.
Amen.
Although we might feel the persecution, it will not reach us. It will not harm us, because we are under God's protection.
Amen.
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 Galatians 4:30 says, "Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." He was there actually quoting from the Bible what Sarai was saying to Abraham in those days. And God here is telling us to cast out the son of the bondwoman, which means cast out anything that is self-sufficiency in your life. Just get rid of it. If you are walking in self-sufficiency, saying, "I don't really need God for this. It's just a very simple task. I'm just doing the washing up." Such a simple task. I don't need God. Of course you need God, even to do the washing up. Because God could just stop you breathing. That instant. You could burn your finger under the boiling water. You need God. For the simplest things in life, you need God. The fact that you are breathing, if you didn't have God, you wouldn't be breathing. You're going to walk somewhere. If He doesn't give you life, there's no way that you're going to go anywhere. If He doesn't give life to your legs, you're not going to walk anywhere. You need God all the time. Never leave home without praying. Say, "God, protect me wherever I go. God, please bless this food." Wake up, open your eyes in the morning, say, "Praise the Lord for this wonderful day. Protect this day. Take it back. I offer it back to you, Lord. Let it be done in your will. That I live this day according to your grace." You need God all the time. All the time. Amen. "Not by might nor by power, but through my spirit," says the Lord. Amen. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast before in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Once you are free, stay free. Don't go back to your old ways. Remain free. Amen. I just want to conclude quoting Zechariah again, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And in Psalm 33:20 says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." He is the one who protects us. He is the one that helps us in all things. He is the one who is going to get things moving.
Hallelujah.
He can move mountains.
Yes.
He can remove lumps from breasts.
Amen.
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 We can't. The doctors will cut it out, but it's still going to be there. But when God does it, there is nothing left.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He is our shield and our help.
Amen.
Whatever problems we run into, we run to the God, to the Lord. And we give it all to Him. As I've said before, I give all my problems to Him. I haven't got any problems. But boy, has He got problems with me. He's got so much work to do, but I've given it to Him. Just like that problem that we recently had with Tina and this medical thing. I said, "You've got nothing." We were in Brazil when they said that. I said, "No, you haven't got a lump there." I said, "That's what it says there, but you haven't got one." "Yeah, but there's a picture, there's an x-ray." I said, "I don't care if there's an x-ray, you haven't got a lump in your breast." Is that not true, darling? Did I not say that?
Yeah.
Right from the beginning. You have got nothing there. Why? Because we gave that problem to the Lord. And we said, "Lord, solve that situation. I believe that she is already healed, although we can see it. That there is something there. I don't care. I spoke to those circumstances and I said, there is nothing there."
Amen.
We came back, did all the tests, blah, 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 blah. Came here for healing. God healed her, hospital proof that there is nothing there.
Amen. Thank you.
So the words that we were speaking in faith came true.
Yes.
Why? Because we waited on God. And we said, God, you are the one that's going to heal us. We are not going to try and do this by ourselves. Because, well, let me tell you a story. When we were in Brazil, there was discussions between Tina and me. Now let's do it here. Let's get it done. Let's get the operation done. Let's get that lump out of here and get it analyzed, and they'll all take it out. And when we go back to England, we're free of all that. I said, no, I don't feel that. And a couple of hours later, she came back to me and said, "Strange, we're going to stop this. Because if we had done that, we would have been doing things according to the flesh. Because of panic, say, hey, I've got something there, I need to cut it out, it's got to go. No, wait on the Lord. He will heal you.
Amen.
And the best place to do that is in your church. You're sick, come to the church, don't stay in your bed. If you're sick, come here. This is the place of healing.
Amen.
It is not in your bed.
Yes.
It is not with the doctors. Yes, we need them sometimes. That is true. But it is here that it happens.
Amen.
Because here is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is here that He works. And it is here that you come and you say, Lord, I trust you. And you are going to heal me.
Amen.
This is where it happens. Psalm 33 says, 27 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I will not trust anybody else but the Lord our God.
Amen.
I don't care what people say. I don't care if the doctor says, yes, you are sick and you need an operation. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Some of you don't know this. I had a very, very bad leg. I had an accident in 1971, and it's been going on and on and on and on. 39 years I've been suffering. We went down to Hastings a couple of weeks ago. We weren't in church here. We went down there with people you know. Some people know Shayla and Steve. We were there. We did some street evangelizing. We came home. It was the first Sunday of the month. We had a service in his house. He praised the Lord. Pastor Arnie did the communion. I did the preaching, and we had a time of prayer. And during that time, my legs sort of started going like that because I couldn't move my leg. I could not move. I could not actually climb that hill on the Saturday. People know, they have seen it. You were there. I could not walk. I had tremendous pain. And I was climbing up that hill in Hastings to go and get the car. And I said, Lord, I can't anymore. I can't. I'm just suffering so much. And it was an agonizing pain. It was like a knife going into my knee. And I said, Lord, I can't anymore. And the next day, Sheila came. She was praying for my feet. But she was praying for the gospel to be spread through a ministry. That's what she was praying for. And as she was praying, I could feel my knee going up and down like this. And I couldn't stop. It went on for what, 20 minutes? 20 minutes, and I just going like that. And I couldn't do this. The pain is gone. Now on Saturday, now this coming Saturday, I'm also going into hospital. At 8 o'clock in the morning, for an MRI scan of my right knee. Because I want to have medical proof that this knee is healed. Okay? Because I've already got the MRI scan of 2004, which says I need an operation. There's a rotten bone in there that can't be healed, that can't be cured. But it's all there. It's written down. I said, I'm healed.
Amen.
I am healed. My bones are healed. My cartilage is healed. My meniscus is healed. And I want proof. And I don't know, but I don't know what's going to happen. But I know, I am saying, in faith, I'm going to have a clean bill of health.
Amen.
Now, it's obvious. The muscles around my leg and my knee are weak. And every day I'm doing exercises to strengthen the muscles because they haven't been working for 30 years nearly. Okay? So that is our part that we have to do. But the rest God takes care of. And He tells you, just do your exercise. I'll strengthen your leg. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But I will remember the name of our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.